Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To go on a successful bus trip, there needs to be three ingredients. When I share these three ingredients, items that you journey with on a bus trip, I'm speaking from experience in my late teens and early 20s, taking many bus trips on the Greyhound from middle of Montana, Bozeman, all the way to eastern and even western Washington. Lots of bus trips in those years of my life. Maybe you can relate, taking Greyhound bus. Three ingredients for a successful bus trip. Number one, make sure to take with you the basic necessities that you might need. Now what I'm thinking about when I say basic necessities, I'm thinking about a pillow. Your neck can only move in so many angles and directions in a 20-hour period from the middle of Montana to Washington, and especially in a tight, confined space. I'm thinking of things like deodorant. It doesn't feel good not to have deodorant on, but it really doesn't feel good to be around an entire bus where no one has deodorant on. Take the basic necessities with you. Number two, important ingredient, is to avoid taking baggage that is really heavy and cumbersome. So you're not packing it into that tight section above someone else's head, and you have to pull it down and bonk them in the head, and then pull it down to transfer to another bus and for another destination. Makes sense. And then number three, key ingredient for taking a bus trip, make sure you're seated, that you're careful in who you're selecting to sit with on that bus seat. Like this, you don't want to be seated next to that person that shows up with a boombox on their shoulder. Now, I'm dating myself. Many of you know what boomboxes are, but in the late 90s, this is what it was. I'm speaking from experience here. Boombox right next to me, loud, no earbuds or earplugs, and listening to heavy metal music. But don't sit next to that person for a long bus ride. Three ingredients for a bus drive. There you go. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because I believe Jesus is setting the stage for a bus journey for his disciples in John chapter 13. These disciples are heading off on a journey in which Jesus will not be journeying with them as he had done in the past up to that moment. This is a new adventure that they're going on. And Jesus is instructing them here with kind of a farewell, so to speak, a bon voyage kind of thing that's going on here. Now, there are a lot of farewells in the Bible, and they're typically very sad and somber when you look at these farewells. So Genesis chapter 49 is the farewell of Jacob to his sons. It's sad. There's kind of a transition here. Joshua 22 through 24 is a moment where Joshua is dying and the new generation is rising up. And there's kind of a note of transition and sadness there too. 1 Chronicles 28 and 29, David is dying. And he's handing out, there's a new kingdom that's coming. And David is kind of handing off. It's kind of sad. But here's the thing. Jesus' farewell, it's only described here in John's Gospel from 13:31 all the way to the end of chapter 17. This is not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Only John's Gospel has a farewell from Jesus. You know what's here? Amazing hope. And encouragement. There's no sadness. Do you know why? Joshua, David, and Jacob, they weren't coming back. It was over. They were dying. Jesus was coming back. And he wanted his followers, his disciples, to follow the ingredients of living life well. And traveling on the bus trip of life, being his disciples. And my friends, this is also for you. The three ingredients. Remember these this morning. Apply them into your life. Number one, take the basic necessity in life. And I'll explain what that is. Number two, avoid carrying heavy baggage. Number three, be seated next to the right person. Jesus says in John 13, verse 34, if you have your bulletins there, you can take a look at this little text here. John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, a new entele in Greek, a new command I give you, as I have loved you, love one another. What's new about this? See, the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the very earliest part of the Old Testament, had a lot of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19, verse 18, it's there. They knew it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love was in the Old Testament. That's not the issue. What Jesus was talking about was a deep and abiding agape love, which is deep. It's not an emotional kind of love that's kind of there today, gone tomorrow. And it's not a love that's about chemistry, really getting along with people. That's not what he's talking about. It's a love of the will and conscience, loving when the emotions and chemistry aren't there. That's agape love. And that's what Jesus is talking about. The basic necessity to love, to carry around in our lives is agape love. That's essential for as we walk.